So last week we covered John himself, the author, and we covered the book and what we're going to be getting into in our studies. Today I think we're going to get down to maybe verse 5. It's been a good week. There's a lot of stuff in here. Is anyone wanting to share anything they've learned this week in their study in John, in chapter 1 specifically? If you've taken notes, maybe verses 1 through 5, or anything with the whole chapter, just as you got a broader context of the events in John. Anyone, anything that stuck out? Crickets. All right. I'm taking you don't want to share, or you didn't read 1 to 2. Just stay. All right. So, my approach with this study, my approach has been I want to learn more about the book of John myself, but also I'm looking at this study from the sense that I have to explain this to a lost person, right? Someone that maybe I work with, a family member, or someone who just has a question, right? A new believer, right? Normally someone who is newly saved, we send them to the book of John to read it, to get an understanding, right? A foundation. So this is my approach, right? I need to be able to defend my understanding of the book of John and how it relates to other books in the Bible. So that's my approach moving into this study. So I'm going to read the first 5 verses. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So John, right from the get-go, is establishing, or rather I should say the Holy Spirit through John, is establishing who Christ is, who Jesus is. This first couple verses here is specifically talking about the deity of Christ and His eternality, right? His continuous existence. In the beginning was the Word, right? It takes us all the way back to Genesis, all the way back. And even prior to that, if we think about it, to eternity past. We see that same phrase in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So it made me think about the other Gospels and how did they open up their Gospels. Of course, all the Gospels, right, are about the life of Christ. So Matthew's Gospel starts off with this in Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So Matthew takes us back to Abraham and goes through the lineage of Christ to let us know who Christ is as it relates to King David. Mark's Gospel, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold. Mark takes us all the way back to the Gospel, to the prophets rather, in the Old Testament. So we're going all the way back to Abraham and his lineage of Christ. We're going back to the prophets who told of his forecoming. And then Luke takes us back to the announcement of the coming of the forerunner, John the Baptist. In Luke 1, verses 5 and 6, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias in the course of Abiah, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But John takes us all the way back to the beginning, all the way back before time existed, right? And he wants his readers to know the eternality, and I hate that word, I can't say it right? There's a certain, it doesn't roll off my tongue that well. But the continuous existence of God, right? He was not created. He has always been and always will be. So, no trick question here. This is referencing John 1:1. What was in the beginning? The Word. And what was the Word? The Word was God, right? Those are the questions I have to think. Is somebody going to ask me, what was in the beginning, right? As a believer, and I've got to explain this to someone, Well, what was in the beginning? Well, they say nothing, but something really was. God was, right? The triune God that we serve. The Strong's Concordance tells us that the word Logos, you state a potato, right? There's several pronunciations there. But it means that it is something said to include our thoughts, a reasoning, our mental faculties. But specifically here in John, it means the divine expression. It means that Christ Himself is the divine expression of God. Does that make sense? He is the divine expression. And in the Complete Word Study Dictionary, and we mentioned these resources in our last study, that the Word, Jesus Christ, is called the Word in His pre-incarnate state, and is presenting Him here, Christ, as the second person of the Godhead, who is eternal, who is the eternal expression of the divine intelligence and discourse of God. That's just, how do you understand all that, right? For us as believers, our faith, right? We believe that. But for someone who is the Campbell's sister, the agnostic, how do we express that, right? To someone to hopefully cause them to believe. Right? Maybe it's just a little bit of conversation that we have with somebody that draws them closer to where they need to be. A seed planted and we're watering. So, where else do we hear that phrase or that language, the express image, being used in Scripture? The express image. In Hebrews, right? Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times in a divers manner spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, one of our gospels started there to introduce Christ to us, right? Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. There's no inconsistencies in Scripture, right? Verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Thoughts or comments at this point? We're just a few words into the book of John. But any thoughts or comments? No? So I have to back up just a little bit to the word was, W-A-S. I read over that, right? In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning takes us back to creation. The Word talks about the divine, right, expression of God Himself. But the Word was, that three-letter word, I read over it. And I told you last week I was going to cite references. And this next little bit of insight came from the notes that Pastor James shared with me on his study. Read right over it. But it's regarding that Word. And as it's seen here in verses 1 and 2, verses the word was that was used in verses 6 and 14. Verses 6 specifically talks about John the Baptist, right? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. If we look at John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, speaking of Christ, His incarnate, right? So the word translated here in these two verses, verses 6 and 14, it means, it has in the original language, to come into being or to be created. And I looked up the word in the Word Study Dictionary that I have, and it means to have a beginning, that is to come into existence, implying that there, in the ordinary course of nature, us being born, speaking of man, right? Man and woman. And we would expect that when it comes to humans. But here in verse 1, this is what just was interesting. The word there means to be. The word was, to be. It translated or it just denotes existence, that there was no beginning. Another way in which the dictionary defined it as simply, I am. I am. Which two passages came to my mind as I read that definition. John 8:58, Jesus himself said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Right? Exodus 3, the burning bush. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. So John himself is telling us of Christ and his deity, his eternality, the fact that the word he uses there doesn't mean something created, but something that has already existed, that there was no beginning. And then it's confirmed by Christ himself and John, and then we could go way back to Exodus and see throughout Scripture that same idea being applied to Christ. Thoughts or comments? Thoughts or comments on any of this? I'm trying to engage you in what you've learned or what? Nothing? All right. So what John is telling us here conveys us no concept of origin for God or the Word, that there's just simply a continuous existence. In the beginning was, this shows us Jesus' deity in his eternal state. In John 2, the same was in the beginning with God. This shows us that coexistence of Christ. In the beginning, right, was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Right? And this reinforces verse 1, right? Anything that's repeated is probably important. So it's that same idea. So John's taking this serious. So that's verses 1 and 2. Is there anyone or anything that you've got to add or something that spoke to you in your reading that you've learned this week in John chapter 1, specifically related to these two verses? Verses 3 and 5 then. John 1. 3 through 5. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So verse 3, all things were made by him. Here we see the idea of the totality of the whole. All of creation, right? To include each and everything individually. From the butterfly to the flower to the sun, right, to you and I. Not just you and I as a whole, but the pieces and parts. Our shoulders, our toes, right? Everything. It's the totality there of all things. All things. And we can go all the way back to Genesis 1 and get the whole count of creation and what was made. What did he say, brother? I didn't hear you. There's a purpose for it, I'm sure, but that mosquitoes, you know, I could do without the mosquitoes myself. There's a couple things I question in my humanity, for sure, what he created and why. I'm sure there's a purpose, unbeknownst to me, though. That's one of them glory questions. Can you tell me why? So, we're made by him, and we see here the omnipotence of the Word, right? That's an attribute that is typically assigned to God himself, right? But we're made by him, his omnipotence, his all power. Thus supporting further Christ's deity. The psalmist says in Psalm 33:6, By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Colossians Chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He not only created all things, but he holds us all together, right? And I'm glad he does. Sometimes I've had times in my life where I didn't feel like I could hold it together, right? But he's holding us together. there's a video, it's old, I can't remember. Lou Giglio, there you go, I lost the name there for a minute. Lou Giglio does a video about just the cell adhesion molecule laminin in our bodies, and that it's in the shape of the cross. And you, if you just have to Google Lou Giglio and laminin, and there's a cell adhesion molecule, and that cell adhesion molecule holds the cells of our bodies together. And the fact that he references this, that he holds us all together. And that cell adhesion molecule in our cellular, in our cells, is in the shape of a cross. And it just, he goes on through it. It's a, I think, a pretty cool video, just being a paramedic and anatomy and physiology study and all that. It's, so if you get it the time, Lou Giglio. So without him, Christ, that is, was not anything made that was made. And I want you to think about this next statement here. This is something I picked up from the notes again Pastor James sent me. In John 1:3, not only this tells us that he made all things that were made, but it also tells us that all things except him were made. I don't know if you remember that or not, but... So, if he made all things, he had to be present at creation, right?
That's right.
And if that was the beginning of all things as we know it to be, he had to exist before all things ever were. So, not only does it tell us he made all things, but it tells us that he was there. So, it tells us what wasn't made. He wasn't made. There's a continuous existence. And I know probably 100% of you know all this, right? There should be nothing new at all. You've probably heard pastors preach about this all your life. How do we defend what we believe to others in our life, right? Anyone else? Anything else? And Scripture supports Scripture, whether it's the Psalms, whether it's Colossians, you know, Paul writing, whether it's John. We've got to be able to defend, because...
First 12, 15 verses.
so wonderful, apologetic, especially when you're speaking to someone like Mormons or Jehovah's Witness, somebody in that realm would be good to have quick and ready, you know, ready at hand to be able to show that from the Scripture.
And that's where I have to look at the study from, because we should have all have read John before, right? There's probably, there's not a someone sitting in the sound of my voice here who has not heard a message on this. But how do we defend it, right? How do we quickly... Was he a prophet? Was he just a man? No, because Christ himself, who do you say that I am? So, anyone else? Thoughts? Comments? Questions? All right, so... Simply put, this is by Albert Barnes about verse 3. He says, in this part of the verse, he shuts out all doubt. And he affirms that there was no exception, that there was not a single thing, however minute or unimportant, was not made by him. That is Christ. I'm going to John 1, verses 4 and 5. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life and light there, we can actually, those words are not synonyms, but we can actually interchange them words. In him was life, and the light was the life of men. But it actually reads, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we can interchange them if we think through it. And I think these two verses, if we look closely at them, I think we see a link in, or a connection of both his pre-incarnate work as Christ and then his incarnate work that's being referenced here as well. I think he's looking, John is, from creation to the cross, in just my opinion, as I read through this. And life here, I think it has a duplicitous meaning, right? Not just the physical life, but the spiritual life, talking about that on the cross, the work of him. So first, the physical life, and the existence, right, as opposed to death and non-existence, the life itself, our physical life. And we go back in Genesis and we read this in Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and all of the earth. In verse 27, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. Now that one verse, to me, there's a similarity in John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him, them. Male and female created he them. I see a similarity there in John 1:1 versus Genesis 1:27 and just the rhythm, you know, of the writing and how it's presented. But specifically here, moving on in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We became a living soul. In the beginning, God created, right? We serve a living God, right? We serve a living God, so why? We're made in his likeness. We're living creatures. We're living beings ourselves, right? Why will we not be made in his image? Man. He didn't merely make the material world, but he also gave life to all things, especially to us mankind, right? God, including Christ, who was present there, is the agent by which we became living souls. 1 Corinthians 15:45, and so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made what? A quickening spirit. A life-giving spirit. What that means, right? Adam was made a living soul. He was created, the first Adam. But the second Adam, a life-giving spirit. Thus God breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. His deity, his incarnality, his omnipotence, right? Listen to John in his other letter, 1 John 1, 1 John 5, 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Now we're looking at that spiritual aspect of it, right? We know we've been given physical life. We're here living. We're in the flesh. We can touch each other, right? But there's a spiritual aspect of it. And I believe we see here, like I said, he's looking from creation to the cross. In him was life. In his pre-incarnate work, we have physical life at birth. But guess what? We're all born spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins, right? We're all born spiritually dead. Thus, the reason the Word was made flesh. There's a reason why he came to earth and dwelt among us. Right? It's so that through him we might have spiritual life as well. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we know we have life, but what is light? And light metaphorically here means truth and its knowledge, together with spiritual purity that is associated with that truth and that knowledge. What is truth? Thy word is truth. John 17:17, right? Metaphorically still, light means the author of the dispenser of the one giving the knowledge, giving the truth. Christ himself being the light. I am the light, right? So have you ever heard the phrase, let me shed light on the situation? Right? Now, please enlighten me, right? We use these phrases, right? Jesus Christ is not only the Word, the divine expression of God. He's also the life, the creator of physical life, and a provider of spiritual life to those who accept him as Lord and Savior. He's also the light of men. He is our truth and its knowledge of the spiritual things. Remember, effective Bible study, we're supposed to be more spiritual, more Christ-like, more holy. Those are things he wants us to become. Christ in his light reveals our darkness. And his light reveals our darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, the Scripture calls us sons of light, children of light, we who have believed. Do we walk around with light beams shooting out of us and everything? No, but we do walk around in his knowledge and in his truth, right? That's what we should be doing in his light, in the light of his truth, in the light of his knowledge. Any thoughts on verse 4 before we shoot to verse 5? Any thoughts? Light in the life. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So here's one of the examples of those contrasting pairs we mentioned last week that he uses, light and darkness. We just said that light metaphorically means truth and knowledge, right? And the spiritual purity associated with it. So darkness then, it means obscurity, right? Metaphorically, ignorance of divine things and the associated wickedness therewith. The lacking of truth. And what did the light do in verse 5? Shineth in darkness. Yep. Shineth, it made evident, it brought forth into light, or it came, it allowed our darkness to come into view, right? So we can rephrase this verse. I rephrased it. It says, the truth came into view of the ignorant and the wicked did not perceive it or obtain truth. The truth came, took on flesh. And is not this the case today for us? And it's been that way for a millennium, right? That we listen to the prophet Isaiah. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. Isaiah 9:2. What light shined upon them? What light was Isaiah talking about in chapter 9? Just 3 verses later. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. He's talking about Christ here, right? was the light that shined on them. And what did they do? Isaiah tells us in verse 53, right? He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Can we see the light if we hide our faces from it? We can't, right? We can't see the light if we hide our faces from it. It made me think of the image. Have you ever been sleeping as a child yourself and you're not wanting to wake up and someone come into your room and flip that light on? Try to wake you up? What did you do? What was your response to your parent flipping that light on while you're in bed trying to... You were comfortable, right? You were in darkness. You were warm under the covers. And they flipped that light on. Did you hide your face? Did you hide your face from that? Did you reject the truth that they were shining that light upon you? It was time to get up. Time to wake up. Satan has this world still sleeping. Right? That's the way I look at it. Satan has this world still sleeping. They're comfortable in a dark environment, not wanting anything to do with the light of truth whatsoever. Satan does not want this world to know the deity of Jesus Christ, which is verses 1 and 2. His eternality as well, right? His eternal existence. And Satan doesn't want us to know about his pre-incarnate work that Christ did. You see, Satan's a liar, and he's the father of it, right? Satan's lies hides the truth in darkness. But the will of God, what's the will of God? These last verses here, and I'll close. 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 6. Well, this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It's the will of God. Versus Satan, the father of lies. The lies hide the truth in darkness. Thoughts or comments before we close out? Any thoughts, any comments? Further we get from the light, right? We can dim these lights down or turn them out, right? We're not losing our salvation. But we, through sin, right, can get further away from that light source. And the closer we get to it, coming back from a dark spot, it's harder to approach that light source. It's harder to get back into our Bible study. It's harder to witness. It's harder, right? So, I encourage you to walk in the light as He is in the light and testify of the same so we don't struggle. Because as I age, my eyes get dimmer and dimmer. I need brighter and brighter light. So, thoughts or comments before we close? This is how we're going to kind of run this Bible study. So if you've got something you've learned or you need to share or questions or you, I need encouragement just as much as y'all do. So, let's close in prayer. Father, truly we thank you now for the day and the many blessings you have given to us. Father, we thank you for your word and that the word became flesh and dwelt among us, Father. We thank you for the life that you've given to us and the light of your truth. Father, we pray that each and every one of us can walk in the light as you are in the light, Father. We pray that we can testify to others and defend our belief through Scripture, Father. Just as Christ asked, who do you say that I am? Father, we pray that each and every one of us can say with confidence who you are. The Son of God, one who existed before anything else, who created all things, and by whom all things exist. We pray now for the remaining of the services today. Be present with us. Remove distractions. Be with the visitors that are here and those who are not here, Father. We pray that you would return them to us again. We ask this in your name we pray. Amen.